מדברים בירוק, פרק 325, כולכן מוזמנות להירשם ברשתות החברתיות, לנובחים בירוק בספוטיפיי, אפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, גם ביוטיוב ובכל אפליקציה אחרת שאתן מאזינות בהן להסקטין. תהיו ראשונות לקבל את כל הפרקים שלנו, אם תעשינה סאבסקרייב, נודה גם לדירוגים לחיוב כמובן. איתנו הערב פרק כפול בעצם שאנחנו נחלק אותו לשני חלקים. בפרק הראשון אנחנו מארחים יחד עם אופר פרוסנר ומתן גילור את העיתונאי הסרבי דז'אן סטנקוביץ', כמובן שהשם הוא הכי גנרי בעולם. מאחורי הקלעים ייתן לנו את התמיכה הטכנית שלום סיונו, ולאחר מכן גם דניאל שפע יעזור לנו עם העריכה. אני עמית פרלה, מעביר את השרביט לאופר. בבקשה אופר.
Okay, thank you, Perla. And hello, Dejan. First of all, how are you? Thank you very much for coming on our podcast.
No problem. Thank you for calling. Excited about the game. What else to say?
So just a little quick introduction. Dejan, you are the head editor of Mozart sports website in Belgrade, right, in Serbia?
Yes, and also the coach of Red Star, because we have the same name.
Okay, yeah, it's a sneak interview we got there.
Yes.
So I think the first question, you know, Maccabi played twice against Partizan, but it's the first time that we play against Red Star. And what we would like to know in the beginning, what should we expect in terms of the team? Can you tell us a little bit about how they play, attacking or defending? What are the expectations, you know, from the fans, and who do you think is the favorite here? And after that, we'll go into, you know, a little bit about more stuff, but let's start with, you know, the basics.
Yeah, well, the basic stuff, Red Star team now is, we've talked about our office last week. Many fans are talking about, is it the best Red Star team after the war in Yugoslavia in the 90s? And we still haven't got there, you know, they're at least at third place. Red Star had some financial troubles in the 15 years ago. They were almost bankrupted. And then they started building up. And the former coach, Vladan Milojevic, did a great job in securing one group stage of Europa League and then two success in the Champions League, two group stages. So that piled a bit of money, and this is there are no more debts in terms of that they are risking their future. So the team now looks very, very good. The problem with the Red Star is that you have quite uneven championship, domestic championship, so you can win almost every game in Serbia with, I don't know, 80% of your abilities to play. So Red Star is, after Vladan Milojevic, former coach, left, he was a defensive coach. I mean, he didn't have the team to play on another level. Dejan Stanković came, more players, better players came. And now Red Star is quite offensive, especially in the Serbian league where you can win every game 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, something like that. But they also play, they try to play very offensive in Europe. Now, the biggest dilemma we all have this season, they brought some very good players. We will talk about them, of course. Red Star haven't had a proper game with a quality opponent. So at the moment, all the games that played, even Punic in Europa, it's just not the same level. Armenian teams are not on Serbian level. It was quite easy, 5-0, 2-0 away. So we need to see them in against some stronger opponent. But the players, the team is basically the same for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. Some players are even 6 years, like goalkeeper Milan Borjan, left back Milan Rodic, couple of others. And they got, in these last 6 years, the club missed most of the expensive acquisitions. Now it seems that they got it right. So there are two players that are very important. Osman Bukhari on the right flank. He's probably the quickest player in Serbia now. He came from Belgium, played in Nantes in France. And also Kings Kangwa. He plays something like number eight, as we call it here, not a defensive midfielder, but like box-to-box midfielder, and both left very, very good impression. Also, you have at front, at number nine, there is Alexander Pešić, who already played here, was very good. Now he got back. So the team now is quite good, to be honest. I mean, we will see. I don't know. It's hard to say, but because, for example, before when we played the Champions League, and you know, and you think they're excellent, and then comes Bayern, and then you see the difference. You know, you see that you cannot compete with them. So this is better team that played the Champions League. I'm positive about it. I know if you want to talk about all the players.
No, we'll get to it very soon. But
can I have one thing, Ofer? It's interesting what you say, because I just read today that maybe Red Star is a better team than Maccabi, but she haven't met this season team in the quality of Maccabi yet. And yeah, this is one of the advantages of Maccabi, who played against Olympiacos.
That's Red Star really resembles Olympiacos in that sense. You know, very weak local league, very high hopes. And what I want to know is, I have a friend who is a Red Star fan. He told me basically Red Star are already champions because Partizan only scored 5 points already from 4 games. So, and that's the only team that maybe, you know, the only other team that can win a championship. So it's already, I think it's 10 points clear now after Red Star won yesterday. Partizan is playing tonight against Vojvodina, I think. So basically that's the only thing they have to play for, Red Star, yeah, right? So it's a lot of pressure, or isn't it a lot of pressure?
The pressure, first of all, last year we played in Europa League and we were beaten in 16 finals against Glasgow Rangers. And the first game we lost 3-0, but trust me, it was an even game. Second game we won. So it was an even two games. And Rangers played final of Europa League last year. So no fan will have a big problem playing in Europa League, because in Europa League, we all think, rest of fan thinks that you can compete for, I don't know, quarterfinals or even semifinals. But they would very much dislike if you lose from Maccabi Haifa. You know, if you lose against Benfica, it's okay. Then we go to Europa League. But Maccabi Haifa is, to be honest, not so big a name here. Even though everybody is aware that it's a quality opponent, that you cannot say that we already won, everybody still thinks that now is the perfect chance to go to the Champions League. And why is that important? The important thing is last year, few years before, good results of Red Star and Partizan in Europe brought Serbian football 11th place on UEFA ranking list. So next year, this is champion, will next year play directly in the group stage of Champions League. Okay. First time in Serbian history. Unless the team that wins Champions League doesn't get to the Champions League through national champions. But 99% yeah, we will play, and that is the... If you go to the Champions League this year and then be champion in Serbia, so you have two group stages of Champions League, that is 60 million euros, which is a lot of money for Red Star. So that is why this season is important, because they all think in the club that if you earn 60 million euros in 2 years, you're going to leave competition Serbian for a decade, you know? So
okay,
no club has that kind of money here in Serbia, not even close.
Okay, so another question on that, and then we'll go to the players, if that's okay with you guys. One of the things that, again, it's very similar to Olympiacos, one of the things I want to know is that, let's say, hypothetically, right, if Maccabi Haifa manages to get a draw in Haifa, and then the game is, you know, we go up in Rajkovic, do you think that the crowd will push Red Star up, or be too stressed and drop them down? Because, you know, all of us, I think, Matan and Amit and all the Maccabi fans, most of them, I don't want to speak for everyone, we know that we are the underdog here. Red Star have better players, and you know they come with more experience, I think, and they're a very strong team. But we're trying to find, you know, for our fans, what's the, you know, what's the good point? Maybe some kind of optimism. So do you think that the Red Star fans, if they are like, you know, second game, 2-0 down or something like that, like it was Olympiacos, Matan was in the game, he can tell you, the fans were not very supportive. They were the opposite, you know? They were like, oh, booze. Matan, right? You told us, I think.
Yes, yes. When in Haifa, Olympiacos go to the half leading 1-0, Maccabi's fan cheered the players. And in Greece, the Olympiacos fan was booing their players.
So, yeah. First of all, interesting stuff. Olympiacos fans and Red Star fans are brothers. Yeah. So that's one thing in common for them. But no, that will not happen here. I mean, that will not happen. You will not hear boos here.
Okay.
Maybe the result is 3-0 for Maccabi, then probably, but no, people here love Dan Stankovic, the coach, and me. They also love the players. The players, most of the players here already won champions titles for club. So I don't believe that will happen. And yes, you have some kind of tension. And if you don't, for example, if you need to score a goal in a rematch in Belgrade and you didn't score for, I don't know, 40 minutes, 60 minutes, then the players will probably be nervous. But I don't know. I can say, for example, when the Red Star played Champions League against Liverpool and Trent Alexander-Arnold, who is probably one of the best backs in fullbacks in the world now, he was Jurgen Klopp removed him from the field after 45 minutes because it was so loud that he was actually lost. He was absolutely, you know, terrifying how bad it was. I mean, he was a kid. He was 18 years old. You know, he was just making his steps in the first team. But trust me, the atmosphere will not be one of the Maccabi's advantages. No, that
okay.
Will not happen. I don't believe that many clubs and countries in the world can compare with that. And for example, we can talk about that also, that there was a talk about Maccabi Haifa fans and atmosphere there, here. We talked with the coach yesterday, and he told us, yeah, I know everything. It's going to be hard. They're going to push them. But last year we played at Ibrox Rangers, and everybody who was there said that was like the best atmosphere that the Red Star fans saw in Europe. Red Star didn't play good, played okay. So I don't believe that will be some special problem. They are used to playing in large crowds. That was against Punic. Like I said, we all knew that it would be an easy game for Red Star. There was 40,000 people. There will definitely be 55,000 people against Maccabi, and that's full stadium.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
All the fans as well, YouTube commission has said that חכו להולך לאווירה כמו שאומר דז'אן, אווירה משהו מיוחד.
Can you estimate how many fans will come from Serbia to Haifa?
1,500. This is not, I mean, that is something that we heard here because the club took that many cards, 5% of the stadium. I'm not sure, of course, but I believe there will be at least 500. Wouldn't surprise me if 1,500 of them come, but it's expensive for us to come, you know, for one game, one night, for one day. But you will hear them even if there is 400 or 500 of them.
Yes, I'm sure. I think that it will contribute to the atmosphere too, because once you have an opponent, it's more likely that the local fans will be on fire too.
Yeah. So now we talked about the atmosphere, we talked about Red Star, let's talk about the players. Who, let's say, give us the three players, you know, that Maccabi Haifa fans we'll have to look for when we come to the stadium. Numbers, you know, and how do you play? How does Red Star play? You mentioned they are attacking all the time. So
it's more than three players, to be honest. But
if I have to choose
three players, one will definitely be Alexander Katay. He plays either like number 10 or on the left wing. He didn't start especially well this year, but he's by far the best player in Serbia, in Serbian championship, not in Serbia as a country. He's like, we call him magician here, something like that. He's like a lazy player, don't run always as much as we would like, but he can do everything with the ball. He have an excellent shot with both feet, can pass, can dribble, can go one-on-one, one-on-two, excellent player. And he's without a doubt best player in the Red Star, even though he didn't start the season as good as we expected. But to be honest, he likes big games. He likes that challenge. So I don't doubt that he will be good. And he's playing, like I said, on the left side, and then most of the teams are on him. And on the right side, you have the guy I already talked about, Osman Bukhari, who came in. He's like, I don't know, like a wind fast, you know. You can watch the first goal he scored against Punic. He ran with the ball for 50 meters, you know, extremely fast. The Serbians are generally tall and strong and good for basketball, but not very fast, you know, and that's something we lack, and he's extremely fast. So
you tell us Nikola Jokic is not fast?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
But he is strong, yeah. And third player, I don't know, Mirko Ivanić played excellent game against Voždovac this weekend. He scored a goal, made three assists. He's like, I don't know how to say, he's also number 10 or left.
He's like a midfielder in the center, right, Mirko Ivanić?
He can also play on the left. He changes sometimes positions with Katay. You know, like a simple player, don't make any mistake and have good solutions. You know, he rarely dazzles you with some move that you haven't seen, but everything he does is very smart, very intelligent, very fast. He's not quick like a sprinter, but he's quick with the ball. He can move positions easily. And behind him, four players at least, another summer acquisition, Kings Kangwa.
He was in Israel, you know.
Hmm?
Kings Kangwa was in Israel, yeah, when he was younger, for Apoel Be'er Sheva, and then he went to Russia.
Yeah, I didn't know that, to be honest, but he's playing here excellent. Now, when you ask how does Red Star play, I cannot tell you why, because we didn't have good opponents. And so far, all the games we coach played with Kanga, Kings Kangwa, and Gaylor Kanga, like defensive midfielders. None of them is defensive midfielder. They are very offensive players, like box-to-box players, you know, not an N'Golo Kanté type of players, you know. So when you play against better teams, I don't believe that he will play with both of them. I don't know. I'm not sure if he's going, maybe he's going to put Seku Sanogo or Slavoj Upsrnić, someone to give a bit of muscle on the field, you know, so you cannot kill us with counter-attacks, because we already know that Maccabi is very good there. Coach Stankovic, I can read it to you, talked about Maccabi yesterday a lot in details. So he was talking nicely about organizing of the team, about how you press opponent and opponent's half, how you never allow situations one-on-one in defense. You always have one extra player in the defense. That is because players who play up front do work for two or three people. He talked highly about Sherry. He said he was a top quality player. He talked highly about Ali Mohamed. He gives them balance with the game without mistake. The flow of the ball goes through them, and he's perfectly placed at defense and attack. But he said that about Ali, he said that he's the key player for Maccabi. He also spoke highly about Netta Lavi. His movement radius in both ways is exceptional. That's what coach said. So basically, we don't know how Red Star will play. Like Maccabi, Red Star all changes from time to time, from opponent to opponent. Usually we play in 4-2-3-1 formation. but it can change. We can play with three at the back. We can also play something that we saw when Napoli played here in Belgrade. So you play it four at the back, but when you attack, then left back mostly goes up. You stay at three at the back. He Dejan Stanković changes a lot, and so far at the big European games, he always did what's right. He surprised everyone with some solutions. He said that he is making some special tactics for Maccabi. So basically, I don't know what to say at the moment.
Okay.
Just a minute. We also had a magician. Do you know which Israeli player called the magician?
No.
Maybe you heard about Eyal Berkovich?
How?
Eyal Berkovich.
Yeah.
He has a Serbian name.
He's called the magician.
Out of curiosity for our listeners, Dejan, what is the media, if any, says about our Serbian player? You know, we have Bogdan Planic. He used to play for Steaua. He's a very important player for us. Central defender, center of the defense. Is the Serbian media talking about him at all? What do they say about him? You know, you mentioned a few players, Neta and Ali and Sharon Shelley. Out of curiosity, you know, does the, you know, players that are not playing in Serbia but in smaller teams in Europe, you know, not out of the big leagues like Israel, do they get in any media attention at all?
Yes, they do. We wrote very much about him extending the contract with Maccabi a few days ago. So, I mean, Bogdan Panić is not a big star here. Like, he was never close to, I don't know, national team and stuff. But people know him. People, you know, it's obvious that he made a name for himself. Not everyone can play in England or wherever. So, he's not all every day in the media, but you can read about Bogdan Panić.
Okay. So we talked
about George Jovanovic also now playing in Maccabi and stuff like that.
Yeah, Maccabi for us is only Maccabi Haifa. That's very important. You have to tell your guys. Maccabi Tel Aviv is Maccabi Tel Aviv, but there is only one Maccabi in Israel. It's only Maccabi Haifa. Very important. At least while you're here, you know.
when I see the table of the championship, I got confused then.
Well, hopefully we will going to be top in the number of times we went to the Champions League. This is going to happen this year. So what else we want to ask you? What are any weak points in Red Star? The defense, the keeper, any injuries that you want to talk about? Because everything is like pretty great and everything is good. And that's what it looks like.
Because it is. Saying. Yeah. there are some guys having stomach flu at the moment. Pavkov, Ohi, and... I don't remember the third one, but these are not, I mean, they're important players. Pavko scored 2 goals against Liverpool when we won 2-0, but these are not players who are in the first 11. Mm-hmm. So for now, it seems that the best team will go. If you talk about positions, I don't know, probably every Red Star fan will tell you that the right back is a bit... problematic, Marko Gorbinić, but I'm not sure he will play. Actually, I don't think he will play. Depends if you're playing with 4 or 3, Strahinja Raković, who is a central back, but now he's playing on the right back because he gives you more certainty. If you play with 3, then Gorbinić will definitely not play. So basically the team... Maybe from what we saw from Maccabi, you're fast up front. The Red Star's central backs are not as fast. And so far, we haven't played with defensive midfielders, right? So that, I think, will change. I think he will probably make some adjustments to the team so it will look different. I mean, you have no... weak point in terms of weak points are during the season. We don't have, for example, a good reserve left back.
Okay.
But we have very good left back, excellent
the first back,
you know. So okay. For one game and for this kind of situation, we do have no injuries and no troubles at all. Also, Red Star already postponed the game between two Maccabi games, so you will not play in championship. You reserve have time to, you know, to recuperate. So it's very important for Red Star. They call it 30 million game. I mean, because if that's how much you will earn if you go to Champions League. Like I said, no one is arrogant and saying we are going to win definitively, but people are kind of optimistic, even though I don't think it will be like some cataclysmic situation if we don't do that. But definitely people will be a lot, there will be a lot of disappointment.
Okay. Guys, any other questions about the team? About, because I want to ask Deja next about what, you know, we are a podcast from fans to fans. We're not affiliated with the team. And one of the things we like to ask our, you know, our guests from other countries is what kind of atmosphere the fans are expecting. So, but, I mean, not, you talked about the really great atmosphere, of course. I've been to Belgrade games. Everybody saw the Belgrade derby. It's great atmosphere, lots of fans. We saw in the TV. But, you know, Maccabi Haifa and Red Star are not affiliated and haven't met before. There is no rivalry. Should fans be, you know, cautious, or they shouldn't be expecting any like kind of issues? Because as you know, Matan can tell you about in Olympiacos, it was very, the only on the buses, and it was a lot of security there, right, Matan? And yes, we want to know what if fans can go alone. And yeah, Matan, please.
Maybe Ofer want to ask you if Red Star Ultras are still the Arkham Tigers, or there was the change for that last 30 years.
Yeah, Red Star fans will probably get pissed if you tell them that, because all that thing about Arkham, it's not exactly how the Western medias usually write about it. He was, yes, at the club, not as a fan. He basically worked for police. So no, Red Star fans don't like to be associated with Arkham, and I don't believe that there will be any troubles. I mean, as anywhere, you know, if you go to City the day before the game in Maccabi jersey and, you know, singing songs about Maccabi, probably some guy will say stop it, or maybe a little bit harsher. But no, I don't expect anyone to, because people here don't have any issue with Maccabi, don't have any issue with Israel, any Israel group. So I really don't expect some problems on the field. I don't think they will basically sing anything against Maccabi. They will sing about Red Star, of course. It would be different if, I don't know, teams from Turkey come maybe, or what, some other country. I don't know.
Panathinaikos or something. Or Panathinaikos, for example, if they would come.
Yeah, that would be a problem. Croatian team would be a problem. Galatasaray would be a problem, because a fan of Red Star was killed 10 years ago in the basketball game. But for Maccabi, I really don't expect anything to... I mean, if you have no, I don't know, provocations in first game, I don't expect anything important to happen. But when I say provocations, for example, here, fans are very sensitive to, I don't know, Kosovo issue. You know, if you say something about that, some banner, because people there are, people are in Europe tend to provoke Red Star fans or any Serbian fans by putting, you know, Kosovo flag and something like that. Then
no, no, because of Bogdan Planić, our ultras bring to the games the Serbian flag.
Yeah, yeah.
So not the Kosovo flag. So.
Yeah. So basically, I really don't expect there is no, I don't know, there is no some no negative emotion about Israel or Maccabi or whatever, you know. We don't like Maccabi Tel Aviv in basketball. I mean, Red Star fans don't like.
We don't like Maccabi Tel Aviv.
We don't like Maccabi
kind of sports.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So,
it's a beginning. It's a beginning of a wonderful friendship.
Yeah. Red Star is friends with Red Star fans are friends with the club, not so much. Actually, Olympiacos took some players with which Red Star wanted to buy, but Red Star fans are friends with Olympiacos and Spartak Moscow fans.
Okay. So I think, unless we have more questions about Red Star to Dejan, we would like to have the time that we spoke about before, talk a little bit about Israeli football in connection with the with Serbian, you know, we had in Red Star, we had the, in Partizan, we had the Bibras Natho, we had the Avram Grant was the coach. How is the Israeli football even considered, you know, in Serbia? Is it even considered, you know, like
not much, even... to be honest, not much. there was a guy from Israel in Red Star now, and
Idan Velad,
yes, and he was not so good, left quickly. Bibas Natho is a huge fan of Partizan fans, that they like him. He plays excellent, although he cannot play 90 minutes full tempo now, but they like him, and he's a good player. And if he was a little bit younger, he would be probably the best player in the league. Avram Grant is something like a joke here.
Tell us more about that. Give us some stories. That's what we like to know.
He came in the club, didn't have much success. I mean, they were champions at that time in Partizan because Red Star was much weaker, but he lost, I think, all the derbies he played against Red Star. So he was actually very gentleman with the journalist. He even, when he left Belgrade, he even called journalists 4 or 5 years ago just to ask, are you okay? He left a good impression as a human being, but not that much as a coach. Many people here consider him to be more of a sporting director than as a coach, because he had an eye for football. He knew how to see a player. But like I said, as a coach, he didn't left much of impression. I mean, about Israel, we don't have Israel championship here in Serbia to watch anywhere, even though we have all kinds of championships from Europe. We don't have Israel. So when we talk about Israeli sport, we mostly talk about Maccabi Tel Aviv basketball, not about football. I think the last time that Israeli guy was, except Natho, and was a topic here in Serbian media, was Josip Benayoun. He was here in Belgrade for some treatments, very controversial ones. So with some doctor who is not maybe a doctor, you know, but all the
Serbian witch. That's what we called him in Hebrew, the Serbian witch.
But she's doing some treatments with placenta, horse placenta. But all the players came. Diego Costa came. Players came from all over Europe for, I don't know, fixing muscles. Who knows? It probably worked.
Okay. Thank you for reminding us about Avram, you know, talking with journalists after he left. That's very Avram of him. He always was very good connection with journalists. And about coach, you know, you can ask some, you know, different teams will tell you different things. But he won 2 championships for us, so you know.
Yeah, I know.
So you're from Belgrade. Can you give us some recommendations? We know where to, if fans coming in, fans are going to listen, where to stay, where to go, what to eat.
For staying, Belgrade is now, in the last few years, it's a bit touristic attraction because of the, well, to be honest, it's very nice to live here. It's very, it's not so expensive. It's quite cheap. You can always drink a beer wherever you want. So there are a few hotel rooms we need more, but you can find a place very easily now, you know, apartment for a day and stuff like that. Depends how much money does anyone have, but I believe for Israelian people it would be quite cheap. For example, beer here is around 2.5 euros at most, if you don't go to posh clubs and stuff like that. I mean, in coffees, in bars, it's about 2.5 euros, 3 euros max. You can eat for 10 euros very good, you know, wherever you sit, you can eat a lot and quality. Most foreigners, when they come, they go to Skadarlia Street. Skadarska, it's like a bohemian street in Belgrade with the kafanas. That's something like a typical Serbian, well, not bar. I cannot say it's a bar. It's something like
a taverna, like a Greek taverna with sound and music.
Yeah. Something like that with music and, you know, something like traditional music. You have near that, you have Cetinska Street. It's like 50 meters from there. There is a lot of bars, traditional bars, like you can find anywhere in the world. Of course, they're on the river. You have clubs, you know, who likes to party a bit more expensive there, but worth a while. So, I mean, I don't have any doubts that whoever comes will have a great time. I can even recommend that if someone comes, try to stay a bit longer than a day or two, because you can really have good time here. And like I said, for most of Europe, it's really not that kind of expensive. Really not.
Okay. And we usually ask, you're a journalist, so I don't know if it's okay to ask you this, but we always like to ask our guests to sing us a fan song. So, you know, our local fans know what to hear in the stadium. Would you mind giving us?
I would mind, because I'm an editor and it would be okay.
I had to ask, you know how it is. I used to be a journalist as well. We always have to ask, but you can always say no.
Nah.
Guys, any other questions for Dejan? Yes, Perla.
Yes. We know that Serbian footballers are playing around the world at the biggest leagues. And I want to know, how does the crowd of Red Star, of Partizan, of Serbian football feels about that the expensive players are going abroad and not staying in Serbia? You said that you are almost at the 11th place in the UEFA ranking, and maybe you can be higher if the best players will stay at Serbia. How does the crowd feel about it?
Yeah, but basically we got used to it, because it's something that it's not just football related. I mean it is, but it's economy related. Economy here is going up, of course, but after the war it was on a, you know, low level for a number of years. You know, the country was devastated. So basically the club for, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago, you could play Serbian Super League in some lower club for monthly salary of 500 euros. It was that bad. Now it's much better, of course, 10 times better, but still, for example, players like Mitrovic, who plays at Fulham, Sergej Milinkovic Savic, no league, even Holland league, couldn't keep them in. So we even don't talk about them. The problem is, for example, the players like Filip Đurišić, who plays at Sassuolo, now transferred to Sampdoria. He's an excellent player, Red Star child. Every fan would love him to play him here. But we talked about him. He was quite honest about that. He said that it's not about the money anymore. He doesn't have much more money in Sassuolo than he would have in Red Star. Probably it's about the same. But there you play every week with Milano, Napoli, Juventus. And here you have some lower level clubs that are basically, you know, village clubs almost, you know, so bad fields, you get no fans. It's not very interesting to play and not very challenging to play. So the fans basically know all that. We don't even talk about that as much. They do get irritated when a player who we know is not playing at for much more money, when he chooses some other club. But eventually they understand, because football here and football in Germany, Italy, whatever, it's not the same. You know, for example, Bogdan Planić, I hear he got around 450 or 500 euros. He could get that money in Partizan or Red Star here, not in the other clubs. And, you know, you can come from Israel or, I don't know, Poland to Serbia to come back, but if you play in those top leagues, very few players decide to come back until they're old and
I have well, a question.
Yes.
When your neighbors have a success, like Slovenia, when they win a European champion in basketball, or Croatia, when they go to the final football World Cup.
The World Cup.
You say, okay, they are neighbors,
is they our neighbors good for them, or we you don't like it?
We don't like it. I don't know. Well, there are, I mean, Serbian people are like that. We have a saying here, God forbid if Serbians agree about something. So we are divided about everything, you know, about our history, about restaurant parties, and about everything, left and right and whatever. So there are people that do, I don't know, go to the sea in Croatia and cheer for Croatia and stuff like that. But no, I mean, if you're going to look... like majority of the fans, Slovenia, for example, won that European championship winning against us. So no, that was, we didn't cheer for them. Croatia, of course not. I mean, that's like the highest sporting rivalry that we have here. The rest, I mean, for example, Macedonia, yes, we cheer for Macedonia. And that's about it. Okay. The rest, for example, Bosnia, you have Republika Srpska, which is part of almost half of the Bosnia where Serbs live. Even they don't cheer for Bosnia, and they are officially living in Bosnia. I mean, they are living in Bosnia, they are officially Bosniak, but no, they are cheering for Serbia. And so, no.
Okay, and who is the bigger star, Nikola Jokic or Nole? Djokovic.
No, Novak Djokovic by far. Novak Djokovic, like, even though they're, like I said, we're divided about everything, so we're divided about Djokovic. There are a number of people who don't like him paying taxes in Monte Carlo, but basically Novak Djokovic is like a deity here. Like, he's the top guy for all of us. Everybody respects him, you know. They will joke about him, you know, and say that about taxes, but everybody thinks that he is probably the best sportsman Serbia ever had, not just now, but ever. Nikola Jokic and is highly popular, but he missed few tournaments, best big tournaments, you know. So there are a lot of people who are disappointed by that. So now he is playing, and if he does something on the European Championship now, then maybe a little bit more people will love him. Because here in Serbia, especially in basketball, I don't care if you won two MVPs in the NBA league, if you haven't won with the national team, we don't watch much NBA league. We don't think about it. It's interesting. People here love EuroLeague, for example, more than NBA league. And so Nikola Jokic still has to win something for Serbia, so he could compare with Novak Djokovic. Novak Djokovic is top here.
So very, very, very local patriot and divided about everything, just like the Israelis.
Yeah. I don't know how it's like about the Israelis, but I heard an interesting story. I don't know if it's true, and I'm not so good with the Israeli history, that, I don't know, Israeli state... founded in 1913, something like that, before the Second World War, something like that. And I know that United Kingdom and Serbia were the first one to officially recognize it. I mean, at that time, it was not Serbia, but the kingdom of Serbian Croats and stuff like that. So, but I don't know about your dividing. Serbians are very divided about, is this green or is this blue? We're going to have a fight about it every time, everything we talk about. It's always impossible to talk.
I have a personal experience with Slovenian youth when I was in 95 at the Greek islands at the vacation. It was, I think... Not many months after Dražan Petrović was killed in the car accident. And yes. I was talking to someone from Slovenia, and I said that it's very sad about the war, because the only team that can beat the Americans is Yugoslavia, when it was Croatia and Serbia and Slovenia and Montenegro and all the countries together. And then he came to me and hugged me and said, now I know you're a good man. And I was blessed to see Dražan Petrović at the first team he was playing in the Šivnik Šivinka. He was playing in Haifa at the Korač Cup. It was at the early 80s. And yeah. It was very, very special moment for me to I remember it. It was more than 20 years ago.
Yeah, the all the people from ex-Yugoslavia, you know, I have a lot of friends from Croatia. I have a lot of friends from basically every country in the world, but and every country of former Yugoslavia. Montenegro is, of course, very close to all of us. Montenegro and Macedonia, the most. There are maybe not the majority, I'm sure not the majority of the people, but the loudest people, like maybe 10-20% or maybe even a bit more, which inspired that that hate that led to a war. So if you talk to Slovenians, are all Yugo nostalgic now, but they were the first one who left that country, you know. So whenever they start talking about Yugoslavia, we always say, well, why were you the first one to go? So basically, I don't know. It was a good idea. I think it was ahead of time when the country was made, but it will never happen again. And for example, now you have some suggestions, especially football, to make a regional league like you have at basketball. In football, it would be very good league. But basically, the fans are not allowing it. And probably it's for the best, because maybe someone would get killed, you know, and nobody wants that.
Yes. But we know a thing or two about narrative we know here too.
Yeah. In basketball, there are no away fans allowed to go to the games.
No away fans in that direction?
For 20 years, no. You cannot go when you play wherever outside your country. You cannot go.
The journalist who talk about Arkan, he say when they come to, they want to interview him. So one of his soldiers, they ask them, which country are you from? And his colleague, he was from Netherlands. So he beat him up. And then he asked him, the journalist, where are you from? And he showed him an Israeli passport. So he hugged him and he told him, the Serbian and the Israeli are like brothers, because you have problem with the Nazis and we have problem with the Croatian who was supported the Nazis, and you have problem with Muslims and we have a problem with Muslims, so we are like brothers. So they let him do the interview.
Yeah, possible. I haven't heard about that story, but yeah, very possible. Yeah, like I said, people here, I don't know, I'm not saying people like Israel, I mean love Israel, but they don't have nothing bad to say about it. I think that in a way they admire part of the country. They admire the way that you succeed to survive surrounded by people who are not friendly with you. But so that is about the, of course, you always have the second part of the people in Serbia with probably we would fight about is Belgrade the capital city of Serbia or not.
So, Dejan, listen, I want to thank you so much for, you know, being our guest. It's been a pleasure. Are you coming to the game? Maybe.
No, I'm not. None of us. There will be, I think, 5 journalists from Serbia that are coming on the end of the game. But we are not coming. We are waiting for you to come. If you come,
maybe one of us will come. I don't know who. Maybe the guy down here, Amit. But we still don't know. So thank you so much. And just so that you know, we looked around. We tried to find a very interesting statistic about, you know, Red Star and Maccabi Haifa. And the two teams have a joint European record. Did you know that? Two teams are the ones, it's not very good, maybe statistic, but we just beat you in the amount of home grounds that we played in Europe at. We have 10 grounds or 11 that we hosted games because of wars and issues with the ground. I think 11 or 10, Matan? 11 now?
Yeah,
we hosted in Cyprus and in Ukraine and in Holland. and
Bulgaria,
in Turkey, and yeah, a lot of places. And I think you know the story about Red Star after when they had to defend the European Cup.
Yeah,
they played all over Europe. So I think a few years back we managed to kind of you know go over that.
Is it all okay now down there in Israel? I saw
It's always okay, you know. It's always okay. It's like I asked you, you're going to, you know, Novi Pazar. You said, nah, everything is cool. It's the same. Everything is cool. Just the media is always, you know the media. They always make stuff up. I'm kidding, no. But it's gonna be really, it's very calm. Haifa is great. Tell the people that coming, if you know, enjoy the beach. Haifa is the best beaches in Israel. I know Belgrade doesn't have beaches apart from the rivers, but a really cool Mediterranean town. You're going to love it. It's really, really good. So thank you very much, Dejan. And thank you, Amit. And thank you, Matan. Amit, would you like to close it in Hebrew?
Yes. Toda rabba gam le Dejan Stankovic, gam le Matan Gilor, gam le Ofer Prosner. Toda rabba, kamuvan, le Shalom Sionov, sheozer lanu im ha-klata, vele Daniel Shefa, sheyazor lanu im ha-arikha. Anachnu behemshech ha-erev na'ase perek nosaf gam im Nadav Kuf. אבל בינתיים, אחרי ששברנו קצת את השיניים באנגלית, תודה רבה לכל המאזינים. Thank you very much.